May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, Christmas is in full swing all around us. In fact, I live in Stratford. My husband works in London. And it's the Stratford Santa Claus Parade tonight. As I speak, it is taking place. I know the Kitchener one happened already. The church won't even start Advent for another week. But nonetheless, we live in a world in which Christmas has already started, right? It is in full swing. And I am beyond middle-aged and old enough to know that most years, even when nothing terrible has happened, even then, Christmas is fraught with disappointment, right? It does not look like the holiday specials all look. Some member of the family always drinks too much. Two other people always fight. Money is always an issue. And the gift you thought was perfect, somebody else either already bought them or they hate. Those are on good years. On the years when we are in a season of loss, when we are overcome by grief, when we can barely get out of bed in the mornings, Christmas is awful. Not completely. If it was completely, actually, it wouldn't be quite so hard, right? It's the contrast between what we know Christmas can be and the loss and the absence and the missing. And it makes it almost too much. This past week, I saw on Twitter, of all places, advice from a therapist on how to get through Christmas. Now, she's from the States, and she was actually talking about how to deal with dysfunctional families. I know none of you would have any of those. I certainly don't. But she said this, and it stuck with me, and I thought it's actually quite good practical advice. She said, when your stomach starts churning at that gathering you are supposed to be at, it's okay to say you've got stomach flu and not go. And when you are dreading the drive home alone in the dark, in the car, from the concert you didn't really want to be at in the first place, it's okay to say there's car trouble. It is okay to not do some of the stuff. It's okay to make excuses. It's okay to put limits and boundaries in. It is okay not to do everything or even try it all. I want to say that to you as the Archdeacon of Waterloo. It is okay not to do everything this year. It's okay to pick and choose. That does not mean either that you're never going to do some of that stuff again or that it's time to change it all. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that this year, some stuff might not be possible. And that is okay. And actually, I want to say to you a bit more than that. I want to remind you that the church proclaims that in those moments, those seasons, those months, when it's hard to get out of bed sometimes and just to cope, that actually God has not forgotten you. I know it feels like we have been abandoned, but that is not true. And God is still there. And those moments where we can hardly cope, actually, they're sacred because they are of love. We heard in tonight's reading, right? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. It endures no matter what. It's why we hurt so badly. But God is there. And while society makes Christmas look like it's all about lights and decorations and carols, the story is actually about an unwed single mother who has to get along with the guy who's going to turn out to be the stepfather. Their relationship is never the same, I think, after that. And then they go to a town where his family is supposed to be from, and none of them welcome them. They're in a barn. She gives birth in a barn. And the shepherds, who are, by the way, the drunks, the down and outs of society, that's who shows up. I'd rather have had nobody, I think. And then, And then they end up on the run, right? They're refugees. Chased by a tyrant king who kills all the young boys under two. And the scripture says those mothers could not be comforted. Jesus is born. Jesus Emmanuel, which means God with us. When I was a child growing up, my mother always told a story on Christmas Eve. Let me tell you that story now. Babushka lived alone in a tiny, tumble-down cottage at the edge of the village. Now, she had never married, and she had no children. And by this point in her life, most of her friends were dead, and she was so lonely. Every year at Christmas, she watched her neighbors preparing for the big family gatherings and preparing for Christmas. And oh, Babushka yearned, and she was so lonely. But this year, in the weeks leading up to Christmas, Babushka had a dream. She dreamt that the Christ child himself came to her and said, "Babushka, I will be your guest this Christmas." When she woke up, she had so much to do to get ready. She cleaned that tiny cottage from top to bottom. There wasn't a place in there she hadn't glistened and polished. She got a wonderful meal all ready, for she thought, he'll be hungry when he gets here. She knit a thick, warm blanket because it's cold. And she found a toy, because a child needs a toy. And on Christmas itself, she got everything ready, and then she sat in her chair beside the window and waited for the Christ child to arrive. And she waited. She waited. It got dark. Finally, there was a knock at the door. And she She ran to the door. "Yes," she said, "I'm ready." "You are not the Christ child," she said, looking at the dirty tramp standing on her door. "You are not the Christ child, and I have an important guest, and you need to go away." "Oh," he said, but the snow, and I'm soaked, and can I just come in for 5 minutes? Just long enough to warm up?" "Fine," said Babushka. "Come in." So she came in, and he sat beside the fire, and he took his boots off, and they hung his socks up so they could dry, and it reeked, but never mind. And as they sat, they exchanged stories about growing up and what it was like to be alone on such a cold night. Finally, Babushka said, "You know, I have a wonderful meal. You're the only one here to share it with. Have some food." So they sat, and they ate together. And then he thanked her, and he went on his way. Babushka went back to her chair by the window, and she looked out the window. Still no Christ child. She could see her neighbor just through the thick snow. She was out collecting a few more sticks to put on the fire. They had no money. "Oh," said Babushka, "and she has that sick child." She looked at the blanket. "Fine," she said. She picked up the blanket. She picked up the toy. She went outside. "Here," she said to her neighbor. "Here, this will keep him warm and give him something to play with." And off she rushed again. And inside, by the door, waiting. She waited so long, she fell asleep. And Babushka had a second dream. The Christ child again appeared to her. She said, "Where were you? I waited all day." "Oh," said the Christ child, but Babushka, "I came. And I was your guest. And you fed me, let me warm myself at the fire. You gave me a warm blanket and a toy. And I was your guest this Christmas." And even in her sleep, Babushka smiled. what I wish for each of us this Christmas is that even in the midst of our own pain and our loneliness, we may see that others are hurting too. And we may find a way to welcome the Christ child, whether or not we recognize him. Because he is with us.